My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons, part of the Soundstone Network. Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode and a new week of the show. This week we've got a returning guest. Rusty Shackles is coming back, artist extraordinaire, talented dude, and we talk about our favorite gaming characters. So this is a first time I think this question's been answered. So leave it to an artist to dig into the character and the histories of, you know, why they love their particular choice. But it was awesome for Rusty to pick this, and it was a cool conversation to have. So hopefully you enjoy the episode. You can find that after the break here. Otherwise, some business up front. Things kind of moved rapidly, pretty quickly. I warned it a couple weeks ago there might be some stuff coming for the Beat 'Em Up Volume 1, and it is back. It is actively being funded on Kickstarter right now. If you're listening to this as this is new, I think there's only going to be like 2 days left for you to back it. It's just a short turnaround. I wanted to just kind of get it into production and get it going since the book's essentially complete. But a revised campaign, all new cover art, all new design there, just to ensure that no toes are being stepped on. There's also not going to be any like bonus merch like I was previously doing, so there's no stickers or bookmarks or pins or things like that would not be properties or materials that I personally own. So read between the lines however you like on that, but you know, it's been rebalanced and retooled to ensure that it's appropriate and everyone can enjoy it, and so it is live now to fun. So you can get that on Kickstarter. The links will be in the show notes for that. Retro Game Zine continues to run, and the campaign for the next batch of issues will also be happening soon. It might kind of semi-overlap with the Beat 'Em Up Kickstarter, which is going to be kind of like odd to have two simultaneous things going, but it's just going to be kind of close, just in order for me to keep my production going and having that be delivered to y'all monthly. It is about that time again to bring you some new issues. So this batch has a lot of great folks. You'll see a list of some great names there if you check out that page. The links to that will be in the show notes as well. And still kind of plugging away at the next 32-bit library volume in addition to that. So if you want to read any of my stuff, you can check out pixelsandpolygons.net for all the printed and physical books. I can ship them directly to you. And if you want them digitally, you can go to my Patreon, patreon.com/Darren Hupke. There's a shop there where you can get the digital books and digital versions of all the zines and books available to you, available now. You can also follow the Patreon page for free. I'll occasionally repost like some of the writing that I do, like in Retro Game Zine, or some just original articles every now and then. But it's just a free way to kind of get a little bit more of what I've been doing. And if you join the paid supporter tier of that Patreon, you get a monthly postcard sent to you. It is a screenshot on one side, and it is a review for a video game on the back side. It is the shortest video game magazine you can possibly buy with your money. Thanks to your support, it kind of helps, you know, pay the web hosting fees and podcast hosting fees and things like that I'm doing. So that is all appreciated. But most of that's kind of business as usual. So thanks for listening to this part of it. Enjoy the conversation with Rusty. Enjoy our conversation around one of our favorite video game characters. And we'll catch you all next week with another new episode. Bye.
Oh. Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary, cultural, and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome to another episode of Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast about video games. I sound professional with that extra subtitle there, so I like to keep spicing it in there. I've got returning guest. I've got a friend of the show, we can say at this point. We got Rusty Shackles here. But welcome back to the show, Rusty. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's good to be back. I needed to randomly talk about video game stuff on a microphone for a while, and this is the best opportunity. So
perfect. Well, thanks for coming back. I know we've been chatting already about, you know, lining up and recording these, so I'm glad it finally got on the calendar. And you also, I record these in batches. People, listeners will probably figure that out because I always like break the fourth wall and record them one after another. But the questions we're going to be answering are two questions that have not been answered before. So new questions that are, they've been on my list, but you are the first to choose to tackle them. And it makes sense as an artist and everything. But do you maybe want to update some listeners on what you've been doing, what you've been working on, anything you want to promote or catch us up on in the world of Rusty?
Sure. The big thing is actually that every time I've been on a podcast for the last 2 years, I've kind of hinted at like a project I've been working on. So now I can officially say I'm working on, it's a game called Eras of Wrestling. It's based on, it's the people who do the 80s Mania Wrestling Returns and Modern Mania Wrestling Returns, Checkmate Creative. They're launching a new version of their game, sort of, and instead of random artists doing all the wrestling characters, I'm doing every single wrestler, and I think manager, and possibly commentator. I'm not entirely sure, but every wrestler for sure. So it's a unified style. It's all my artwork. And for the most part too, like it was like a lot of the artwork people really like. So I'm bending it in some ways. I'm not necessarily breaking it. Sometimes I broke it. Sometimes I've made all new characters. But hopefully around August, that should be announced. That should be revealed. And it will be a mobile game, but it's like a wrestling promoter game / card game kind of thing. The fan base is really big into it. Like the people who get into it, like they do monthly drops of characters, and like people will buy a token with, you know, the real money part of it to unlock a certain character that is only available for that month, and then they'll come back in the store at random. But they book their own shows and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been fun. Like, I'm not really that much into wrestling like I was, but it's fun going back and doing certain older characters I had fond memories of from the 90s and all that.
Do you have a favorite classic wrestler?
It feels weird to say classic now, but Eddie Guerrero is my favorite, along with Macho Man Randy Savage, of course. That's the, like, I own 30 to 40 Macho Man figures. I was collecting them for a while, and from all different lines and everything, but like he's the one I think that like really just speaks to me. Like even as a kid, like I kind of was like, yeah, I get him. Like Hogan, whatever, you know, other kids like Hogan, but Macho Man's a little crazy, a little dangerous. He was more entertaining. So,
what's your favorite Macho Man look?
Honestly, there's a famous promo he did where he talks about a cup of coffee in the big time, and he's got a little creamer.
The cream rising to the top.
Yeah.
Cream
rising to the top. Yeah. But he's got like the classic purple Macho Man shirt. And like, that's just, he's kind of understated, but his intensity comes through. Like, it's just kind of like, he didn't really need all that at that point. But I kind of like, right before he got real pimped out, like he did later, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of flair on the Macho Man later on. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for catching us up on the life of Rusty. Let's jump into it then. Let's do a couple of this or that's to warm up, and then I'll give you the icebreaker. Let's see. Nintendo Power or Game Pro?
Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to think of a magazine one with EGM as the like in it, like EGM or Next Gen. Yeah, let's do that. EGM or Next Gen.
EGM, unquestionably. So again, I'm biased. Like I work for people who you know came from that magazine.
Yeah.
They kind of helped, like, I mean, even like with 1UP.com, who kind of kicked me off, that spun off from EGM, but EGM was the best, in my opinion. Yes,
100%. EGM for life.
Cannot wait to go to the Kickstarter.
Backed it day one. Sent them emails saying, hey, I am a nobody. If you would love to have any other extra contributors or anything to it, totally want to. Literally, I have already paid them to want to see more of that. So bring me on all of the EGM. Like, you know, history and all. I've been using the archive some of my research with my new books that I've been working on and everything as well, too. So I love that that exists. Yes. EGM forever. But pick the B tier then, Nintendo Power or GamePro.
I would probably say Nintendo Power just because, like, they had such original. I like their original art and original, like, covers with the clay. Mm-hmm. They were the official people, but they also kind of treated it like unofficial. Like they kind of did their own take on it. They didn't just rely on stock photos or whatever. They kind of made it their own thing. I think. I don't think I could name a single writer from Nintendo Power. I don't think many people could. Maybe Luster or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, GamePro never really did it for me. But I did. I do remember buying GamePro. Just because it had the play as the same player in Street Fighter 2 for the Super Nintendo, because that had the code in it. That was like the first time I saw that, and I was like, okay, cool. That was like one of the few times I distinctly remember enjoying a game, bro, because it gave me the code so we could play Chun-Li versus Chun-Li or whatever.
EGM was always the first magazine I'd get every month. Yeah. If I can convince my mom to like buy another one, like I'd always like mix it up and get something different. Eventually it would become like PSM. I love that magazine. But GamePro was always like, if it was just like a flush with cash month and I'm like, you know what, I can get a few magazines this month, then a GamePro would sneak into the stack just for variety's sake and everything. I love the old Nintendo Powers for doing like the comics and everything in there, and I love that they like recollected those since, like with Mario and Zelda. Those are always rad. I think just like the comic book fan of me loves that Nintendo Power like did that. But I mean I guess a lot of like 80s into the 90s like comics were something that did help be like thread the narrative, like even like the personality of the GamePro editors, like they all had those comic book personalities and everything. It's bleeded into the pages.
You're talking about PSM, like there were so many famous comic book artists J. Scott Campbell, Adam Hughes, Adam Warren, so on and so forth, Chris McCullough, etc. It was a very cross-pollinated thing for a long time.
Yeah, Lanil Yu, he worked for Marvel forever and Secret Invasion and stuff. He did like Metal Gear is one of my favorite series, but looking back, realized he drew a cover with Solid Snake, and I was like, oh my god, this is like my favorite Marvel artist right now, draw my favorite character
for PlayStation, for PSM.
Yeah,
that's Travis Charette.
I there is a Lanil Yu Snake cover one, maybe. We'll have to Google it, but there is one. I have it like set aside and everything, but I'll send it to you. I'll text it to you. I'll show you later. Yes. I mean, I guess, get two comic nerds on a video game podcast. Comic books are going to come up. We'll try and continue on then. Let's see where this goes. Shenmue or Yakuza or Like a Dragon?
Yakuza.
Okay. I mean, I already know what's coming here a little bit, so like I figured that was the case.
Yeah.
Well, Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3?
I would say the 360, just for the... It was such a generational leap to me. I have a PlayStation 3 behind me in my garage. I still play, and I still buy games for it. Just because it's kind of like the last time to collect. And stuff like the Simpsons game is not available anywhere else, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the 360, like when that came out, that was like... I felt like... this was different and changing things, and oh wow, online's appealing now. So many other factors. I love the hard drive thing, because I hated memory cards. I hated fooling with that. So, but yeah, I would definitely say that. Although, like I had to send two of them back to Mexico or wherever because the Red Ring of Death.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But also, I think the 360 like was the first one that had the Ninja Gaiden series, Ninja Gaiden 2 on it. Mm-hmm. And Dead or Alive was on it. So it was more to my taste at first. Eventually, PlayStation 3 caught up, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Those first few years of the 360, it was like my primary driver for sure. Like, as much as I wanted the PS3 to catch up, it was like Xbox Live Arcade was rolling. Like, obviously, yeah, the internet, like connectivity and everything. Like, there was just so many like cool original games that were just rolling out for it. And it's exactly that. It was like that leap. That like it was a big leap and not just like a next step or anything for sure. Eventually, PS3 caught up and everything in my mind, and that became my primary system. But that those 360 years were golden.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I had one more in my brain when we started to ask that one. Let's do Castlevania or Metroid.
Castlevania.
Okay.
I like Metroid. Metroid's like the one Nintendo franchise I actually care about. And like, you know, like I'm tempted to buy a console because there's a good Metroid on it. But Castlevania overall, that's just like, there's so many good ones. There's so many, like, the lore of it, the spirit of it, and everything. It's, you know, it's always a fascinating take on, everyone's different to a degree because of the time period setting. Just who developed it and everything like that. And, you know, I enjoy the novelty of like, oh, there's a chair in this. I should try to sit in that because for some Igarashi likes chairs and furniture. Like, that's just a weird quirk that always appeals to me. But I don't know if there's necessarily that kind of personal touch in Metroid series that I can feel the creator's hand a little bit more when Igarashi was doing the Castlevanias. I think that's probably why it feels more like if I feel the hand of the author in Castlevania more than I do Nintendo.
Cool. Well, that's this or that. Then we did it. Let's jump into this iceberg. Then let's see what you say about this. If you had to compete in a fighting game tournament, which one would it be?
Because I have a pinup account, I'll say Angel Eyes, just for the comedy of it. But no. Probably Power Instinct Matra Melee, because that game's weird. And I think that, like, you know, if I get beaten up by a grandma, that'd be funny, I guess. I don't, or like a dog man. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, actually fight very well in any way, shape, or form. But at least I want to have a story for it. You know, I want to go out and say, like, I got my butt kicked by a dog man.
Okay, then follow up. Where would your stage location be?
Pardon me, just said Waffle House automatically.
Did you see that Tekken? He wants to get a Waffle House stage, and he's been trying to get a hold of the, I guess, I don't know how real that was, but I saw that news the other day and I was like, this cannot be real, but it could also totally be real.
I'm sure that they want to promote their restaurant that way. But yes, so actually I go to Raising Cane's, actually to Popeyes. Popeyes would be my choice. Because I there's one right next to my house, and it's like, it's hard not, I have to walk over there to burn the calories off to earn my Popeye and come back with my spicy chicken sandwich. So
okay, there we go. All right, well, Rusty, thanks for participating. Hopefully that got the brain juices flowing. But we've got a conversation then. We got the question of the episode then. Who is one of your favorite gaming characters? You know, what do you love about them? You know, is their story over? Like, do you want to get to continue? But, like, let's just have a conversation on that. Like, who is one of your favorite gaming characters?
So I think the one that really, and it'll sound weird, but, like, they're kind of an inspiration to me, is Kazuma Kiryu from the Yakuza series. Like you said earlier, like, it was, you know, Shenmue or Kazuma, Yakuza, it's easy, Yakuza. The thing that's interesting to me about him is that, like, he's very much a traditional Japanese righteous karate man. Like Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star. He's curious in a way that I think makes me appreciate him as a character more than almost anybody else, because you go through these games, and if you try to play as a Yakuza game and just go to the story, straight to the story, it's impossible, because people will come up to you and give you, you know, you have all these side quests. It'll be like 10 to 15 different side steps before you go on to the next chapter. Which to me is like real daily life. I told this to my kid. I'm like, you want to do something? Great. I have 10 other things that just popped up in my way. And you kind of have to overcome. You kind of have to adapt to them. But at the same time, he doesn't let it necessarily bother him. Or like, you know, like it's kind of like he wants to know why that person enjoys remote control or RC car racing. Like, he kind of wants to see how somebody could appreciate that. And through that, the gameplay mechanic, you know, he gains some sort of technique or something like that, the essence of something. But in every experience he has his entire life, he he engages with something that gives him more experience and a new way of looking at things and a new approach to combat or whatever he's doing. He learns how to take every single situation and adapt it into his fighting output or whatever other technique he might have. So he's really fascinating to me. As a character who's as righteous as he is, which should seem boring and, you know, like the whole thing, Superman, like who can beat him? You know, he's just too good or whatever. I think that like this character, because he's so righteous in a weird way, he kind of makes me think I should stand up straight. Like I'm kind of like, no, I can do this. I can do things the right way because like there's a better, he's a good example in a strange way. It sounds corny. But I think that like there's few gaming characters that I would say that I'm like, you know, I would like want my kid to pattern themselves after in a weird way. But he's definitely it. And I know that like the series kind of shifted with the Like a Dragon game. And I like the character of Ichigo. I don't care for turn-based combat RPG stuff at all. Like the Yakuza game series, I love it because it's such a great beat 'em up. But I don't want to play Dragon Quest. Like I want to play a beat 'em up. And you know, I didn't actually play the last one, the man who erased his name, which I think is his cosmic last appearance. So I don't know what happened to him there. But his story up until that point, from Yakuza 0 through 6, was an incredible arc, and all the characters he meets, and every character he meets can be an ally, no matter how bad they are. Like it's one of those things where every time he fights somebody to the death, at the very end, they're staring at each other and they're sharing a moment. They're sharing he bromances everybody. That's the only way to put it. Like he can see the value in everything and apply it to himself or come away with an understanding for how somebody else approaches life.
That's cool. I mean, that's the rundown, I guess, on what you love about them. That makes sense. What was your first exposure? Was it the original Yakuza? Like you picked it up on PS2 and like you were on day one later?
It was much later, actually. I jumped into the series with Yakuza 3, which is the worst jumping on point. It's 2 hours. The first 2 hours are just bored, like after school special nonsense with these kids. And it was a really hard barrier to overcome. But then, like once it started rolling, I think eventually I had to wait for like Kiwami and Kiwami 2, which is the remakes of 1 and 2. I think I played those like 5th or 6th in the series. Like I jumped around the series. I think it was like 3, 4, 5, 6, Dead Souls, 0, then the remix. So, you know, it's like Star Wars timeline. Like I jumped all over the place. Or Street Fighter chronology. I think that with like compared to Goro Majima, who is just pure chaos, with like Yakuza 0, people always say that's the best one, that's the best place to start. I personally don't believe that, just because you'll never get that version of Goro Majima again. In that one, he's broken and trying to rebuild himself as a cloud. He's trying to be order, and that's what he is that entire time, but that's not him. He's all chaos all the time. And it's a strange thing. Like I think prequels, like say Metal Gear Solid 5 or something like that, or even 3, they come out in the order that they come out for a reason. They're supposed to be told after the later part of the story. So for me personally, Yakuza 0, like after like probably after like part 4 is when I would say like that's the ideal place to appreciate it. I'm alone in that thought though. Not everybody else is just, because it is probably the best one overall. So I get why people want to get people hooked right away on it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand from a storytelling standpoint, like to see the origins of the character, to know where the story begins and everything, or, you know, not necessarily begins, but like, you know, the earliest points of these character stories, like it makes sense to like want to start from there. But to your, like exactly to your point, like that wasn't thought of or created or even like, you know, designed until after some of the story had already been told. So like they knew what they were sharing then. They knew like what was going to be said and done and shared in Zero was going to have some type of emotional connection to players who have already established the connection to these characters and the world that they're in and everything. So like just to start, because chronologically it's the earliest one, like isn't always the right design. Yeah, like because Metal Gear Solid 3, you don't have as much payoff for like, oh, who is Ocelot, like what is the draw of this all, like you know, like not knowing that it's not the same snake or anything like that at all, like, oh, it just must be the same thing. Like yeah, it tells a story and you can listen to that and enjoy that start to finish, but you get more out of it if you know where it is going, where it is headed, and why the these details are unique and special here.
So like when like the Dark Witch Chief appears as Sigint, I think. He's not the doc. Yeah, Paramecia, the girl. But yeah, like it's, you're like, oh, cool. This is the Darpish. Like you understand it because you played one, not because you jumped in. Like there's no relevance for him, you know, to be, you know.
But and for those, just so the super nerds know that we're super nerds. Like the DARPA chief that we experienced in Metal Gear Solid, the original one, we know that is Decoy Octopus, so we never actually saw a living DARPA chief, but we did get that for the first time in Metal Gear Solid 3, and we're fully aware of this, and we're not crazy, and yes, we're nerds. We're like you. Cool. So you mentioned already not being that interested in, as far as like the turn-based change and the Like a Dragon type of pivot that's gone on. Would you want to see like a Yakuza like spin-off of its own game, like where a franchise is spin-off to play as more as you know your favorite character there? Or like, do you understand that a story has come to an end and you're okay with it having that resolve? Like, or what'd you want?
And that's probably what, yeah, I haven't gone to the man who erased his name as quick. Like, I'm kind of like, eventually I'll get to it. Like, I was very satisfied with the ending of how 6 ended. Like, I haven't picked up the like the pirate one, which to me seems more like a natural spinoff, because everybody wanted to be Majima. Like, he was the cool, crazy one, and you can do so much more with him. Because the more they go on, the more he becomes unhinged. And that's, you can do, embrace his world like that. I'm blanking on his name, unfortunately, but the money changer in 4 and 6, he owns like the money lending place in Kamurocho. That character was interesting to me. Like, that's one I would like to see a spinoff of. Because he was like of the four notable ones, like the cop was fine or whatever. Daigo was cool because he plays like a tank. But he was the one who was the most interesting to me. So like, it'd be kind of cool if he got the next spinoff. I don't think he's nearly as bankable as Majima. I mean, they make those weird little like rubber ducks, the tubs or whatever. They made a Majima one for a reason, you know, because people love that character, you know.
Yeah, I had played the original one on PS2 and only played like just a couple hours of it or so, like didn't stick with it for whatever reason, but I'm a big fan of beat-em-ups and everything. And then, I mean, legally, like I've been asked to not love beat-em-ups as much as I do. So, I mean, clearly I love beat-em-ups. But the, for whatever reason, I just didn't stick with it. But then I felt like it got out of hand. Like by the time I wanted to go back and start playing it, we were at so many, like in the PS3 era, like we started to see, like I'm like, oh man, I've got how many to catch up on, and now we're doing spinoffs and everything. Like, oh, I want to get back to it. And then when they did those Kiwami games, I purchased the first one, played it again for about 2 hours, and was like, yes, this is rad. I'm going to stick to this. This will be great. And then I didn't stick to it, and I, for some reason, I just have not continued playing it. But lately, I've been wanting to really play it because I've known they're great. I had fun time with them. Like, they get continuously like recommended to me and everything. But unlike you, I do love RPGs. Like, I'm a huge, like, you know, turn-based combat fan and all that stuff. And so the idea in my head is like, you know what? If I play these games, finally give them the time of day they deserve, like put in the time for these beat-em-ups and experience this rad story, my reward is another potential RPG franchise that I can dive into and potentially enjoy, you know? So like, why not, you know, get this going? But I have to fight my completionist mindset. Like, do I really need to play every single one of them? Can I display a few of like the early ones? Could I play like Kiwami 1 and 2, maybe 0, and that's enough to then start the Like a Dragon stuff? Like, I don't know. I have to figure out my path through those games, but I definitely... Well,
there's 40-50 hours if you're a completion. It's so much. Like, I love the games, but like, I started playing Ishin, which is like, they kind of, it's a recast in like Samurai times, or Edo period, I should say. But it's good, but it's all like, I mean, there's like, I'll get to like third chapter and I'm like 12 hours in and I'm enjoying it, but it's also like, I want to play other games. Like, let me be free. I can't do a Metroidvania anymore unless it's like an actual Castlevania. Cause it's like, you know, I'll get 5 hours into it, I'm like, I'd rather be doing something else by this point. You know, same thing. Like, it's not that the game is bad, but I'm just like, man, I'll look at like how to beat and see how many hours are left. And if it's like twice what I've gone through, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I, you know, I'll just goof around a Fortnite or whatever. I don't care, you know?
Yeah, I'm fine with putting a game down if it's not completely done, if I know I'm satisfied. I just don't want to have, like, four or five games and, like, a backlog unplayed, or, like, you know, trying to juggle between too many. I'm like, let me commit to, like, one or two, but I'm just going to play it until I know, like, I've gotten my joy out of this. I don't have to force myself to see it to the end there. But it's helped me, you know, see things to the end more, actually having that mindset. But I don't have a problem knowing, like, you know what? I've met the end of this. I enjoyed what I did, but I need to, you know, play something else because there's more to see and more to enjoy. I can't just be sticking to one thing forever.
Yeah, I'll say, like, I got my $10 out of that game I bought on sale. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. That's enough. Good, you know?
Yeah, yeah, 100%, yeah. All right, well, that's it. We did the thing. We answered the question. That's the show. So, appreciate you for jumping on and joining. We will, spoiler alert, we're going to record another one right after this. And so we'll have you, fans will be able to hear you in a few weeks, likely after they're hearing this one. So thanks for jumping in and doing this. Anything you'd like us to follow, any social media or any websites, anything that you should want us to check out to promote?
Just look me up. Just look up Rusty Shackles Art. You'll find me. Like, there's nothing special. Like, it's, you know, you'll find me. That's the easiest way to put it. Because, you know, I mean, Blue Sky is probably permanent, I would say, at this point. And I'm just Rusty Shackles, all one word there. Yeah, I've got an Instagram. I don't update it much, but, you know, it's easiest to go to Blue Sky and look up Rusty Shackles, and you'll find me.
Cool. All right, Rusty. Well, thank you for jumping in on this episode. We will talk to you soon, and you'll be on another one in the future for sure.
All right. Thanks again, Darren.
Bye.
Do you find yourself playing older games and wishing that there were new discussions about those games? Enter Tales from the Backlog. Hi, I'm Dave Jackson, and on each episode, I'm joined by a guest to break down those games that may be stuck in your ever-expanding backlog. Each episode looks at one game in depth, focusing on mechanics, story, music, and other aspects with no spoilers until a clearly marked spoiler wall in the middle. If you've played the game, go ahead and climb that spoiler wall and enjoy in-depth story discussions, and if not, jump out when we warn you and maybe go play that game for yourself. We have over 100 episodes in the feed, everything from Disco Elysium to Tunic to discussion episodes about how to get into horror games, and if games actually need to be fun, or if they have more to offer. I guarantee that there's something in there for everybody. Once again, that's Tales from the Backlog, available wherever your podcasts are found.